Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for these glorious days. We thank you for all the wondrous things that you have done and that you're doing in our life. And Father, I just ask for a special message today that it would go forth with pinpoint accuracy and touch the deepest recesses of your people's hearts with the deepest thoughts and intentions of your heart. And we know, Father, that this is an extremely important time and a time like no other. So we just praise you, Father, and give you all glory for that which is about to transpire in this conference and beyond. In Jesus' name. This really, truly is a very special time. It's a special time for me personally, and I know it's a special time for everyone else here. It seems like it's been many years now that we've been serving God. It has been in many cases. And the fact is that we are in a place, again, like no other. And so I'm just believing, as I prayed earlier, that that God will bless us in such a way as to lead us on in the days ahead in an accelerated pace and into the fullness of destiny. And that's the title of my message today. Now, first of all, I want to establish this. I very seldom preach without dealing with this because it is an extremely important thing, and it's one that every Christian needs to know. If you'll turn over to Luke 10:27. Now in this scripture is found what I call the divine requirement. This is the first and foremost commandment in the scriptures. And the way that the Father set it out is such that everything that follows in the Word of God is predicated on believing and acting upon this scripture in obedience. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Now, it really simplifies things when we begin to realize that our God is an absolute God, and that his truth is absolute. And so when he calls us to love him with every fiber of our being, then we need to be doing that. And I'm telling you, it will simplify things radically for both you and for all those that will cross your path the days ahead if they can gain a revelation of this scripture. Because when you have a revelation of this scripture, and that is the essence of your motivation, your life, in Christ, when you're desiring that more than anything else, you will understand things that you wouldn't have thought possible this side of heaven. And we need to understand those things with where we're going. And I'm going to elaborate on that a bit as I go on. But we are at a critical time. The fullness of God's will come to pass in the earth for his church. And, of course, we're part of that, and we don't want to miss a thing. We didn't come this far to miss anything. Amen. Our God is an absolute God, and this scripture that I just read defines the divine requirement. Again, everything that is written concerning the kingdom, and indeed all scriptures, is predicated on this principle. So I wanted to do that first, because it's important. In Matthew 5:8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That's very important. Again, when your heart's wholly given to God, then you are going to have a pure heart established within you by the Holy Spirit. And the fact is that in this last hour, we are seeing those whose hearts are not wholly given, and we are seeing those whose hearts are wholly given and therefore pure towards God. One group is seeing clearly, with great clarity, which again is one of the defining characteristics of the remnant church, a people who see with great clarity concerning the will of God. Without exception, only those with a pure heart will see and understand the fullness of God's purpose in this hour. Now, I wanted to get that down first, because that's one thing that every Christian has to understand if they're truly going to understand the fullness of God's will and destiny for their life in Christ. Now, you know, Bill mentioned some of these things, but this is the seventh Where Eagles Gather conference that we've had. Now, I realized that some time ago, and it just kept coming to me in the Spirit and by the Spirit that this is a time of spiritual completion for the purposes of God as a whole and also for us individually. They both go together. The word culmination kept coming to me. And I looked it up in the dictionary. I had my own idea of what that meant. But it actually means to reach the highest point or degree. And what that means to us is, as Christians, we should be desiring to reach the fullness of our destiny in Christ, or the fullness of God's destination for us. And that goes with each passing day. Ultimately, we'll fulfill the work of the remnant church, and they will be out of here. But the fact is, we have a destiny, and it's glorious. And what I'm desiring to do today, what I'm believing the Holy Spirit will do, is to begin to plant seeds and water the seeds that are already there concerning this glorious destiny that we have. And I know every other speaker will build exactly, perfectly on what you need to hear. So be ready, because, again, this is a time like no other. When I was praying the last few weeks, I was kind of meditating on the fact that things, and we've all had this, I'm sure, things seem to be taking a long time. Even with the revelation that we've been blessed with, things are, again, seem to have taken a long time. But God didn't call us to get caught up in time. He called us to hold fast the vision, to walk in faith and obedience, to put ourselves in His presence so that we could begin to understand His purposes and carry out His purposes. And that goes for each individual believer in the body of Christ. I'm going to touch on more of this a little bit later, but I just wanted to share a vision that He gave me, because, you know, He always deals with me in my heart. Very seldom do I get to the place where I'm so far down and out that I'm actually shooting things out of my mouth or actually coming to the point of believing or unbelieving, as the case may be. Usually it just starts with something in my heart, and it's a wondering. And so I was wondering one day, and He spoke to me before I even had words to put to it. But it dealt with patience, and it dealt with the fact that this thing is right on schedule. I mean, our God is perfect, and the fact is that when this thing's over, we'll all look back and say, yep, it was perfect the whole way. Again, God looks on the heart, not on the outward circumstances. We all know that. All right. Anyway, I had this vision, and all of a sudden, I was almost like I was caught up in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, the only thing I was, I could see or feel, I was in the cockpit of a 747 jet, and it was nighttime, and, I mean, I'm not a pilot, believe me, but there were rows and rows and rows of lights and switches, and the only presence with me there were the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And so I saw myself. Now, one thing I noticed was that the plane was in descent. And the fact is, it was just a very gradual descent. You almost had to look at it very, very closely just to see the fact that there was a descent involved. And all of a sudden, I was alone with the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and I began to get instructions. And He said, put that switch up there. Put that switch down there. And what I realized from that was that God is in control in our lives. He is the one that is ordering our footsteps day by day. This thing is right on schedule. The glorious church appears as though it hasn't landed yet, but it's coming down in perfect timing. Now, I mean, God's been expanding that vision to me. There's a lot more. I believe He'll expand it to you. But just picture yourself and see that plane coming in at a very, very slow and long descent. Well, we're getting near the end now. And this thing's going to land. And some of the things I'm going to share with you today, you need to realize that there is such a thing as the fullness of time. And you need to realize that the fullness of God's plan that's clearly shown in the Scriptures, and I'll deal with some scriptures on spiritual Zion later, It's clearly there. That indicates the fullness of our inheritance, both individually and corporately. And this thing is going to land. So keep that vision in mind. Those are just some of the things that God began to show to me. He keeps us going, doesn't he? He doesn't allow us to get discouraged. You know, I really firmly believe, from my own experience, I firmly believe that the only reason a Christian gets discouraged is because they choose to. Really, God has made the provision. I'm going to talk to you about that next. He has made the perfect provision for us to walk in a place where we can walk above these things, these attacks of the enemy. That doesn't mean we're not going to sometimes have to stand and fight and stand in faith at all costs to ourselves, resist the enemy until he has left the building. Now, destiny. Oh, no, sorry, I almost forgot this. Another thing he gave me, and he asked me to share with you specifically. He was speaking to me, and then he said, I want you to tell my people at conference. He said, tell the people they are much farther along than they could ever imagine. Now, this is pertaining to our spiritual maturity. I mean, have you ever had a day where you think you've gone backwards? It's not true. God is dealing with us perfectly. That plane is descending perfectly. And I'm telling you this, when the remnant church lands the way that God intends for it to land throughout the entire earth, there will be an explosion that will turn the world upside down. We saw a glimpse in Acts. You know, a lot of people get caught up with the great things that happened in Acts, and they were wonderful. But I'll tell you this right now. That church had one thing going for it very, very powerfully, and that was one accord. They had very little revelation, but they were in one accord because they believed what God had shown them and they were acting on it. But we have, through 2,000 years, been blessed with great amounts of revelation, absolute truth from the throne room. And now the one thing remaining is one accord. When the revelation that's been brought forth into this earth the last 2,000 years and the remnant church, which is coming into perfect accord, comes together, that plane will have landed. This world will be turned upside down. I'm not going to get ahead of myself here. Destiny is defined as the purpose or end for which anything or anyone is created or intended, or what was intended in that. We have the Word of God before us. We each have a destiny in Christ. And it should be the heart desire of every last Christian on the face of this earth to pursue the fullness of that destiny at all costs to themselves. In other words, laying our lives down. Now, I just want to share this scripture here. In Galatians 4:4, it says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. See, there was a time in the Old Testament where their prophets prophesied and prophesied and prophesied, and the fullness of time hadn't come. They were prophesying things they couldn't even understand. I believe, just because I know God the way he is, I believe he did reveal things to them. And of course, he kept them going. But boy, they were men and women of faith. And they kept it going. But when the fullness of time came, there came a day when the words that had been prophesied came to pass. And in that fullness of time, Jesus was born into this earth. Well, if you take that as a parallel to where we are now, and we see that the glorious church is about to be birthed. And so we need to really understand the reality of these things. The fullness of time is defined as that moment that the Father's perfect purpose enters into manifestation in the physical realm. Have you ever been in a situation where you were standing in faith? And now I'm talking about something that's a revelation from God. I mean, I'm not talking about people standing in faith for something that was never God in the first place. But I mean standing in faith on a revelation that you had from God, and it just seems like, oh my God, this thing's never going to come to pass. But I want to share this with you. It was another thing that God began to speak to me a few weeks ago, and I never thought of it. It seems like a simple thing. I pray it blesses your heart because it blessed mine. But he began to speak to me about the purpose of patience. And what he said was quite simply this. He said, the reason why my people are called to such great patience is because when I have a patient people, then I am able to fulfill everything that's in my heart to fulfill concerning my people, concerning the world. We know that it's his will that not one soul should perish. So what that did for me was, it really took the edge off perhaps some impatience that was attempting to creep in. It made me understand that, look, we're in this place, we're serving God, and our deepest motivation, again, should be that the fullness of His will come to pass. If that means that we have to wait in order for His will to come to pass, what is that to us? That's an important thing. But I'm telling you, the exciting thing is, those who have been faithful, those who have been patient, those who have held fast the vision or the revelation that God has given them over the years are about to be greatly blessed. And I'll tell you, there's a purpose in that too. The very first element of the Abrahamic covenant, God said, I am blessing you that you might be a blessing. So with everything that God has bestowed upon us and is bestowing upon us, there's a purpose and great purpose in that. Even if we can't see it completely, God shows us enough. But even if you can't see the fullness of God's purpose for your life at this time, you stay in faith, you stay in patience, you will surely inherit that promise. Surely. Very important. I'm excited in this hour because this really is a culmination of sorts. We're reaching a certain point, and it's preparation to enter into the final sprint. I mean, the final manifestation of the glorious church in this earth. I can't stand here and tell you the awesome things God's going to do because it's impossible. But just picture this and think about this for a while. It will be the first time in the history of mankind that God will have a remnant in the church that He is unlimited through. And He's coming to dwell in our midst. Put those two things together, and what do you get? Glory. You get the manifested presence of God to a greater degree than this earth has ever seen. Don't ever worry about evangelism. Don't ever worry about anything. God is coming on the scene. He's going to work through a fit vessel, and everything that has had faith exercised in it will come to pass. All right, now we'll get on with this. All right, now the first key to entering into the fullness of one's destiny I've already done. That's to love the Lord your God with every fiber of your being. Now we're going to look at some other ones. When you do these things, you will successfully fulfill your destiny in Christ. Now, I'm going to talk to you a bit about the inner chamber. That just happens to be the expression that I use. And the fact is that I picked that up from an Andrew Murray book. I believe it's out of print now, but it's been back in print under a different title. But it was called The Inner Chamber. And God began to reveal to me what His greatest purpose and desire was for His children. And that is simply to fellowship with us, to have us come to know His love, to know Him as He really is. The devil has spent thousands of years attempting to get people into a mindset and believe on God, but He isn't that way at all. Believe me, if the devil's trying to tell you something about God, you know that's not true. Better get into the Word and find out what He's really like, because He's awesome. And He's perfect. He's perfect. All right, so the second key then, I haven't really numbered these, but every one of these things I'm going to share with you sets off a chain reaction. And if you come to the place where you're obedient to fulfill the Word of God in your life, you will reach the fullness of your destiny. There is nobody that could stop you from reaching the fullness of your destiny except you. Not the devil and every demon in hell, and certainly not God Himself, but us. So our job is to be faithful and obedient. Now, I remember in an early conference, God gave me a title. It was called Intimacy, the Key to the Fullness of Transition. The transition into what? Into the fullness of kingdom living, into the fullness of your destiny. And I'm going to share this with you now. I've shared it before, but you know, this is important. I'm telling you, every last Christian walking the face of the earth has to have a revelation of God's absolute truth. Not playing around, not guessing at what the will of God says, but what actually is the heart of the Father? What are the deepest thoughts and intentions of His heart towards each of us individually and towards us corporately? We have to know that, because as you're going to see as I share this, when you know these things, you're going to be free. And that's the season we're in. And many people are going to touch on that. But that's the key right now. Free to do what? To fulfill your destiny. Free to serve God. Free from bondage. Free from fear. So we can serve God from the position of a whole heart. Now this is a word he gave me in the inner chamber. Now this is a beautiful thing. Because this word is for each individual Christian. And it's up to each individual Christian to go before him and find out what that means to them. There isn't any wholesale scheme that you're going to find when you're talking about fellowship with God. We need to find out what he requires from us and then do it. So he said this to me. He said, the inner chamber is that place wherein one communes with me in secret. And it means shutting out the world and shutting in themselves unto me. The inner chamber is not first and foremost a time frame. It is first and foremost a proper heart position before me as each new day begins. As one abides in the proper heart position, then they shall surely be doing perfectly all that I require of them concerning the inner chamber. Therefore, let each one of my children walk in the manner in which I have assigned them. So you see, every believer. Now you meditate on that, but I'm going to share some more on this. It's important. Do you want to be empowered into the fullness of your destiny? This is the next step in doing that. The first step was to, by faith, give your heart wholly to God. Obviously, many of us have done that many years ago. And then God has been working, as Bill talked about, the stones, grinding, polishing, sanding. Yeah. Thank goodness. I declare that it is the season of polishing. Sandpaper's rough, I'll tell you. In the inner chamber, you will come to see yourself as the Father sees you. And ultimately, you will come to the place wherein you will overcome the fear of man as you maintain that proper relationship with God. Now, there's one aspect of liberty that each one of us needs to have. Because the fear of man will cause you to say things and do things that are apart from the will of God. That's what it's meant to do. So as you come into that place of relationship with the Father, then many good things are going to happen. I'm going to go on to explain that. The fact is we need to keep our spirit man in dominance over our soul and body to live this true Christian life. And we do that through intimate fellowship with the Father and His Word. I'm talking about the supernatural aspect of God's provision for us. I mean, the days of us trying to be holy in our own strength, I mean, they've got to be at an end. We're just getting too worn out. There's no such thing as good intentions in the kingdom of God. Just wanted to tell you that. No, by faith, we love the Lord our God with all our heart. And as we come into His presence, then the process begins. The Father and it reveals His character to us. The Word of God is revealed to our heart by the Holy Spirit. And our minds are renewed. And again, I'm standing up here. These are all common things that have been preached for many, many years. But now we're on the threshold of God having raised up a people that will go forth totally in sync with His heart and totally in sync with the mind of Christ. These things are important. This is how we're going to get the job done. Not by religious actions, not by man-made organizations, but by revelation. I'm touching on things. I'm just believing the Holy Spirit's going to keep rolling and explain it. I mean, when you sit down to realize and to do the outline, it's the seventh conference, and you're looking at all the years of your own personal preparation, but you're also looking at the Father's heart desire for the church. And I mean, I'm just thankful that I have faith in the third day anointing that it will go in, plant seeds, the incorruptible seed of God's Word, and as you spend time in fellowship with God, then the Holy Spirit can water those seeds and take you exactly where you need to go. It's not a matter of getting the message word for word and going out and preaching it. It's a matter of having that ingrafted seed of the incorruptible Word in your heart and then God watering that and bringing you to spiritual maturity. That's the way the system works. And if you exercise faith and you show up in the presence of God, it will happen. And I'm believing for supernatural acceleration in this conference to clear up any areas that may be in our hearts concerning certain things, but also to know without a shadow of a doubt that we're headed and have entered into the fullness of our destiny. In our own strength, we fall short of the glory. But in God's abiding presence, there is a supernatural impartation that causes us to abide in the fullness of our precious inheritance in Christ. Now, I don't want to go into too much detail here, but the fact is that when we're in this place of fellowship with God, I mean, shut out. It's a supernatural place. If God's not first in our life, people won't enter into the inner chamber. They don't want to fellowship with God, because when people operate in self-desire and fear and pride, they're too busy with their own agenda. It's a 24-hour day job to maintain their own agenda. But I'll tell you, there's some real, this is the one thing that I really want you to get. There is an empowerment in this place. Brady preached a message a few months ago, and it was called tarrying. He's talking about tarrying in the Lord. Well, I'm telling you, that message came at a time for me. You know, you don't realize that you get busy, or you don't realize sometimes that you're getting a little impatient, and that's danger, because you're dangerous, because you're going to try and do something. And so he preached that message, you know, and I thought, well, like I do with every message here, when something comes up and I realize I need to act on that, I act on it. So that was a turning point for me, one of many this past few years. Whew. Now, this is a good place to be, I'm telling you. And I just did that. Instead of thinking about all the stuff that wasn't happening or whatever, I just sat there. I said, I'm not lifting a finger to do anything. I'm just going to come into your presence. And you know, God straightened the whole thing around, got me back on track. And the fact is that we need to do that. When you get busy and when you get in a place where the devil's trying to, you know, move in on you, just stop everything. I mean, how many emergencies are there? When you think about it, stop everything, get quiet, don't let the devil talk you out of it. The needs, believe me, when you do that, the ship will be righted, and then you can go forth and do whatever's necessary. These are just little tips, but this is real. We have a real God, and he has real power, and he desires to give it to us and keep us free from the wiles of the enemy. Another thing, when you're entering into that place of fellowship with God, you're getting up into a high place. You're getting up into a place that the devil can't reach. You're getting into a place where you won't be ignorant of his schemes. And then you can turn and do what you need to do to not only stay in that place, but to rectify any situation that needs to be rectified by the power of God, not by trying to worry our way through it. Paul said in Romans 7:18, he said, there's no good in me, no, not in my flesh. How come it takes so long for us to learn that? But it's true. The inner chamber is the place of perfect empowerment, and it is the key to the fullness of transition into kingdom living, and thus the key to one entering into and fulfilling their destiny in Christ. That is an absolute truth. I mean, you see, it's really a simple thing. If we just put everything aside and get back to the basics and the beginning of God's purpose in creation. God created man, and what was the first thing he created him for? Fellowship with him, so he could reveal himself to man, and man could know him and know and experience his love, and man could love God. It hasn't changed. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why I said earlier, when I talked about loving God with your whole heart being the divine requirement, when you make that decision to do that, then you're going to enter into his presence. And now, as I go on, you're going to see how everything is a chain reaction after that. There are so many people, and I pray for them, and I'm just thankful for God's grace in my own life, but there are so many people attempting to do religious activity to please God and to gain his acceptance, and that's just a trap of the enemy. It's just a trap of the enemy. Just, again, when you're in that place, drop everything, go into his presence, and go from there. It's supernatural, and it is the way of the kingdom also. I can't explain it. It's God. I remember I had 8 things to do, and they needed to be done, and they were kind of scheduled to be done, and I knew I couldn't do it, but I was trying. So I got 1 or 2 done, and I thought, oh, it's getting worse. No, it was. So I thought, I'll just forget this. I'm going to go out and pray in the Spirit for 4 hours. I don't care. It's just not going to get done. I came back from that. I sat down and started to work. Not only was I done the rest of the 8 things,
But I was done well before the day was over. Don't ask me how that happened. I don't know. God had a better plan, and God had the power to see me through that. And I learned from that and many other examples since then. Again, the power of God. We need to be a people who realize that it's God's will that we walk nonstop supernaturally the rest of the way. I'm not talking about necessarily going into a morgue and raising 50 people from the dead. I'm talking about, in even the most seemingly mundane thing, abiding in the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit. Oh, do we know the effect of one action of obedience, what it can have? Oh, we don't. And we best not be thinking that way, or we'll limit God. Very important. Our God is an unlimited God, and he's raising up a people who will not limit him. These are truths that are very, very important, because God's coming on the scene. We need to understand that he's going to do what he's going to do. Hebrews 10 tells us that we'll have need of endurance. We've had need of endurance, haven't we? And it's divine endurance that we have to have to stay the course. To stay the course of God's will, to know God's will, we need to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. I talked to you about a time of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. The scripture's there, but sometimes we forget about that. Another aspect of being in the presence of God is acclimation. You know, Bill mentioned of the importance of drinking a lot of water because of this altitude and so forth. Well, I'll tell you, God is coming on the scene. We, as Christians, need to be acclimatized to his presence. And I don't have time to share that today. I've done it before. But the fact is, he is coming on the scene, and he is going to do what he desires to do. And we are going to have to be acclimatized to his presence just to function. Just to function. And it'll be glorious. And we'll just be, again, I'll share this vision. God gave me a vision of the glorious church. And all I saw was this great big wall of glory. And behind it, I saw activity. Activity everywhere. I couldn't see. I couldn't possibly define the amount of activity. And he told me, he said, in the last of the last hour, he said, one day of true spiritual work will be like a multitude of days. I forget the actual figure now, but I think he said one day would be like 30 days. So you see, this is the type of thing we're moving into. All right. Excuse me. So we've got to the point where we know it's God's will for us to walk supernaturally. Not leaning upon our own understanding, but acknowledging him in all our ways and walking in his counsel and walking in his wisdom. So now we've got the divine requirement down. We've now got a people who are entering into the inner chamber, putting that as their first and foremost priority. That, of course, runs in line with Joshua 1, which talks about meditating in the word day and night, putting the word first in your life. When you do that, you will enter into the presence of God. And now we begin a bunch of spontaneous chain reactions. The fruit of the inner chamber, you might say. Now, I'm preaching this because I believe you're people who love God and who will go into the inner chamber. But people actually have to go in there on their own to experience these benefits. These ones don't just fall on you. Number one, the love of the Father. When you come into the presence of God, then he's going to reveal his love for you, his love for mankind. And you are going to begin to understand the deepest thoughts and intentions of his heart. And you're going to understand, you're going to have his love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Again, divine empowerment. Another thing, divine restoration. Now, one of the first things that happens is when we start out, we've got a lot of junk in there. We've got a lot of perhaps unforgiveness. We've just ourselves received the revelation that we've been forgiven, but it's a little hard sometimes just to automatically forgive. And so God begins to restore us. And in his presence, he begins to reveal his great love for us. And in that, it causes us to be restored. And it gives us the proper mindset. And therefore, we can then receive that forgiveness fully and therefore forgive others. That's critical. Oh, If there's a worse thing for a Christian to be caught in than unforgiveness, I don't know what it is. Because that will totally blind you from God, and it will totally leave you in a bad, bad place. Again, when we enter into the inner chamber, we are going to have gain a revelation of consecration. We're going to gain a revelation of the necessity of being separated apart unto God. And of course, this is in the process, or it begins the process of working out holiness in us. This is all by the power of God. All we have to do is show up consistently. If we could change our own hearts, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But we can't. Again, those whose hearts are not wholly given, there's fear there, and in many cases, condemnation, and all the negative things, bondages that the devil tries to put on. And that causes people to turn away from God. They're ashamed to go into his presence. Now he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. So it doesn't matter what state we're in. We just need to repent and always move towards God. I mean, whatever's happening and you don't know what to do, just move towards God. Again, now we're in this place of daily going into the presence of God. And now faith is beginning to rise up. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, you're going to become who you like, who you spend the most time with. Amen. Now, you know, that's not so clear cut in the beginning of our walk. But now in these days, we don't want to be like the devil. We're seeing the devil attempting to run rampant through the spirit of Antichrist, but we're also seeing God raise up a church that is totally empowered by the Holy Spirit. People are falling on one side or the other. In the absoluteness of faith, or in the place of abiding in an absolute faith, is the absence of fear. What a blessing it is to walk free from fear. And even if fear attempts to come against us, to put it down so quickly that it dare not even attempt to come at you again for a long period of time. These things are real. This is the true Christian life that I'm talking about. And this is the life that we're entering fully into. I'll say it again. It's God's will for us to walk nonstop supernaturally to the catching away of the church. And we will. God is raising up a remnant of people who will do that. The way things appear now, it's not the way it's going to be in the days ahead. These are the final days of polishing, of fine-tuning, of preparation. Every last ounce of faith and obedience that you've exercised over the years, regardless of what state you're in now, will be rewarded by God, will be blessed by God, and will be brought forth in the fullness of his purpose. Again, we're in the presence of God. The love walk is being perfected. You know, we're commanded to love one another. But we can't do that apart from the power of God. There is no love apart from God. God is love. And so the thing is, when we're in his presence, then we begin to see things through his eyes. We begin to gain compassion for his people. We begin to understand that the person that the devil used against us that time, they had serious problems. It was just the devil trying to hurt us. But, you know, and it's one thing that's very important. When something happens like that, you go into the presence of God and you find out. First of all, you know the devil's coming against you. Okay, you can rebuke him and do whatever's necessary. But then lift that person that was used or people that were used. Find out what ground in them was being used by the devil. And then exercise prayer towards them. Then you're really hurting the devil. First of all, you're walking in forgiveness. And then you're turning and releasing the compassion of God and the anointing of God into those people's lives. That's the reality. You know, instead of sitting around for 3 weeks stewing about what somebody did to you. See, that, you know, it's such a perverse thing, but unfortunately, to the flesh, it's very gratifying to hold unforgiveness. It's very gratifying to, you know, say bad things about people. But in the true Christian life, and entering into the fullness of God's destiny, there's no room for that. So the love walk will be perfected. Now, we're in a place where we're going to gain revelation. So now we know that we're commanded to walk in perfect obedience, just as Jesus did. Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We're to be righteously motivated, just as he is towards us, towards all people. But in that place of fellowship with God, we're going to gain a revelation of his will. That's where you're going to gain it. You're not going to gain it from hearing other people, or hearing people tell you what they think you should do, or hearing other people share their revelation and say, well, that was successful for us, you should do that. That's not the way the church or the kingdom works. It's up to each individual believer to get a revelation of God's will. Again, coming back to the importance of the inner chamber. And not only gain a revelation, there's two parts to perfect obedience. One is to gain a revelation of God's will, but the other is to see that through from A to Z by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, you may have a revelation, many people get a revelation, but then they jump out presumptuously. No, we're talking about pinpoint accuracy, and we're talking about being totally empowered by God at all times in the days ahead. Revelation knowledge. Again, you got a revelation of his obedience, but you'll get revelation concerning the corporate plan for the church. You'll get a revelation of his heart. You'll get a revelation of whatever you need to get a revelation of. I always say this, that every Christian should be well assured in their heart that they know exactly what they need to know at any given moment by faith. And if you don't know something, don't start looking for it. Pray, and God will reveal that in the perfect timing. One of the little tips for uncluttering your mind and taking things upon yourself. God has called the church to be filled with the revelation of his purpose. And one of the great purposes is, Ephesians 5, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory. Have we seen a church in all her glory yet? We have not. Will we? Yes. These are times now where the preparation is so excellent. Because these things, yeah, it takes faith, but these things are going to come to pass, and they're going to come to pass in ways we never thought possible. There are only two types of knowledge in this earth: revelation knowledge and sense knowledge. Now, sense knowledge is just simply an adherence to the five physical senses as one's final authority. That's all that is. It doesn't mean we don't use our senses. Of course we do. And the opposite then, when people have the revelation of God's word as the final authority of their life, that is when you'll be abiding in revelation knowledge. And believe me, we are a church that's called to abide in that place of revelation knowledge. Now you're in this place and all these things are happening and you're getting revelation. Well, now God can begin to establish divine connections. Now that's something that's very special to me. It's a revelation he gave me and told me how necessary it would be in this final hour. Now this doesn't matter whether it could be a marriage, it could be some other people in ministry, but it's defined as a relationship in the body of Christ that is being connected or joined by the Holy Spirit alone, and I might add, maintained by the Holy Spirit. This is important in this hour. I mean, I can't go into the whole testimony of here, but, you know, we were walking around in 97 and wondering just exactly what the next thing God was going to do was, and this is just before the internet really, you know, came out. But God began to establish divine connections throughout the earth. And, you know, it was fortunate. I just remember this. Through many, many years in the cave, so to speak, I didn't see very many people that were, just from time to time, that were really, truly seeking the fullness of God's will. I did not. But I spent time in God's presence, and he brought me through. And in that summer, a lot of things happened, the summer of 97, but he began to establish divine connections. It was supernatural, because I remember it was so dark. And I couldn't see anything really out of this cave I was in, but God was with me. And I knew, I had a revelation of the scripture where Elijah was in self-pity and he was bemoaning the fact that he was the only spiritual person in Israel. And God came on the scene and said, actually there's 7,000 more just like you. That was a little humbling. And the fact is, that's a key number, seven. And so I had that revelation. And so every time I began to try and get in self-pity, or the devil tried to get me in self-pity, I just, oh, no, they're there somewhere, but I didn't know where. Anyway, to make a long story short, God began to establish these, and he's continuing to establish them. And I think that through the first wave of divine connections, of glorious connections, God has taught us a lot about relationships, and he's taught us refineness in the area of walking in love, because these are very, very, very glorious. It's a glorious blessing if you're divinely connected to people who are truly seeking God and who are truly desiring the same things, or who are like-minded with you. It's an extreme blessing. It really is. And the fact is that I know this, there is going to be another wave, a new wave of divine connections. There are people out there we've never met, that you've never met in your life, where you're from, where we've never met, and we're going to be divinely connected. And that's important. I'm going to talk to you a bit about spiritual environments, the importance of those things. Because this goes hand in hand. All these things go hand in hand. And all these things that I'm speaking of and spoken of so far will manifest in your life if you'll just simply put God first and put your fellowship with him first. This is the truth. I'm just sharing with you what God's taught me. And I'm like anybody else. If I don't put him first, then things don't run too smoothly. But the way of the righteous is smooth. When you are righteously motivated towards God, you'll be fine. All right. A true spiritual environment is defined simply as a place where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can be all that they desire to be in any given moment. Now, the first and foremost spiritual environment I talked to you about was your own personal time with God. You are creating a spiritual environment, and you will experience these benefits that I just explained. Now, we look at this. We look at this. This is a true spiritual environment here. I can tell you, it is. And the fact is, right now, you're in a true spiritual environment. And so God can do what he wants to do in your heart, in my heart, in everybody's heart, for the fullness of his purpose to come forth. In a true spiritual environment, an environment where the word of God is going forth exactly, now I'm talking about a corporate environment here, the way that the Father would have it go forth, the incorruptible seed of his word will be planted in the hearts of the people. As they go forth in obedience to spend time with the Father in the inner chamber, then he is able to enlighten them further on the seeds that have been planted in their heart. So you see, I love this because it's God. I mean, the fact is, he plants a seed in your heart, he plants a seed in my heart, then the Holy Spirit can bring that to our remembrance, but then he can also begin to expand it, how it applies to our ministry perfectly. And so you see, we're getting all these things done in the presence of God. And then as we go forth in revelation from the inner chamber, God brings us together corporately. See, it's individual obedience that's going to cause, in individual believers, that's going to cause the glorious church to rise up in the earth. Not some man coming up with a plan, everybody follow it. No, we're talking about individual relationship with God. This is the key to the true Christian life. This is the key to the fullness of kingdom living. And this is the key to the entering in and fulfilling the fullness of your destiny. It's a simple thing. You know, God created us to fellowship with him, and it's been the first and foremost thing. Therefore, everything beyond that is going to be predicated on that. It's the devil that's trying to confuse us, not God. All right, I'm just going to touch on a couple of things. Now, this individual obedience brings forth a people who are abiding by revelation. And this brings forth the one accord and the true unity that the Bible speaks of. Not people, again, coming together with a good idea. No, people coming together by the Holy Spirit and having revelation in their heart. And you know, it's God's will that there not be one enemy in the camp, in the midst of the congregations of the righteous. And, you know, I'm not going to go into that now. There's a whole testimony on that too. But the fact is, that's important, and that is a blessing. If you ever try to deal with religious spirits, I know you have, but in that environment, it's no good. The devil does not belong in the remnant church, and he will not be in it. Okay, so that's something to look forward to. If you're in an environment right now that God is either working or has you working in, the fact is, though, you can always have it produce a true spiritual environment by moving into the presence of God. So there is no excuse. And believe me, if you're dealing with religious spirits, you better be in the presence of God. Because you need that to overcome. And you will overcome gloriously. Now, just touch on, and now you're, there's so much here, but I mean, the fact is when you're in this right fellowship with God, now you're going to begin to prosper. You're going to begin to walk in divine health. You're going to begin to walk and abide in divine prosperity. I just want to, you know, God is removing money-mindedness from the church. So let's get our priorities straight. I'm going to give you a really good definition that the Holy Spirit gave me of divine prosperity. It is the supernatural ability to meet every need that crosses your path, spirit, soul, body, or financially. That's divine. Now, everything is predicated on obedience. Everything is predicated on abiding in the Holy Spirit. Everything is predicated on acknowledging God in all your ways. Because you see, there's only two loves in this sense that we can fall prey to. One is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and the other is the love of money, which is the root of all evil. And if you love the Lord with all your heart, you will be free from the power and wealth. And it's not just financial wealth. You'll be free from the power that comes with the revelation God gives you. Because, you know, there are people out there, they'll start looking up to you and so on and so forth. And they'll try to be used, the devil will try and draw you off by attempting to exalt you in a false way. So the bottom line is, we're going to prosper as we obey God. We're going to prosper as we fellowship with Him. We are going to have the wisdom to do with whatever He prospers us with, to do the right thing. All right, the remnant church or the glorious church. Simple definition of the true apostolic anointing and authority that is now being released in the church to a continually greater degree is this: the impartation of Christ all in all. Now, there isn't anybody here that could tell me how the flesh could possibly get in and fulfill that. Christ all in all. You know, God doesn't mince words. He made it easy for us if we just come in and into the place where we can understand His heart. We are called to do nothing apart from Christ. Now the kingdom begins. Amen. You get that revelation, you begin to move out in obedience, in revelation, in the power of the Holy Spirit. No faith in yourself. You know that there's no good in you, not in your flesh. And you know the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Now we're in business. Now we've stepped into the kingdom. That's where we belong. And you know, I just want to read this. The essence of all true apostolic motivation. You are the apostolic church. You are the remnant church. Two things. Paul made this quite clear. This was his basic motivation for everything he did. To do all things for the greatest glory of God. The greatest glory of God. To experience and to impart God's best in every situation you're ever going to run across. To glorify Him to the greatest degree in that, and for the greatest eternal benefit of all those who cross your path. Now, when I talk about crossing someone's path, I'm talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about, oh, well, we better go and evangelize over there. Everything in the kingdom is predicated on perfect obedience. Everything. And therefore, God will not be limited in any way, and we will see the results. Now, I would love to do another teaching on spiritual Zion, because as I started to do the scriptures, and there's a lot, and I would really encourage every last one of you at some point in the days ahead to do a study on Zion. Just get a concordance, exhaustive concordance, look up the word Zion and go through. Then you'll have a picture of the glorious church painted in your heart. It actually says what it says there. When you put them all together, God's got a plan, and it's awesome. Psalm 2:6 says, "But as for me, I have installed or established my king upon Zion, my holy mountain." Psalm 50, verse 2 says, "Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shone forth." Psalm 84:7, "They go," and he's talking about us, "from strength to strength. Every one of them appeareth before God in Zion." So you see, another manifestation of your time in fellowship with God is a revelation of Zion, but it's a revelation of God's purpose, and it's an awesome purpose. Psalm 132, 13 to 18 says, "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her needy with bread. her priests also I will clothe with salvation. Just one thing there. Another aspect of the inner chamber, it's very important. That is where you will gain a revelation of the fullness of your inheritance in Christ. So important. We're going to need every last element of provision that God has provided to the shedding of the precious blood of Jesus at Calvary. Not one drop will be wasted. We will fulfill the fullness of all that he redeemed us from. I will satisfy her needy with bread. Her priests also I will clothe with salvation. And her godly ones will sing aloud for joy. There I will cause the horn of David to spring forth. David was a man after God's own heart. I have prepared a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall shine. It'll be shining with that glory. And like I said, I'd encourage every one of you to get in and do a Bible study on Zion. God will speak to your heart. You'll see things in there you didn't think were in the Bible when you read it all together. I just want to close now. The Lord told me to do some proclamation over this people. You know, I don't have time to go into a lot of testimony, but I can tell you that when we run across people whose hearts are wholly given, people who, in obedience to God, come to such a situation like this, it is a great blessing to us personally. Obviously, we don't put our stock in what, you know, we have to believe what God has said, and it's going to come to pass, but it is a special blessing for us that, you know, your faithfulness and your obedience, and we appreciate it, and we're looking forward to a great weekend, as Bill prayed, an excellent impartation, and the fullness of God's purpose accomplished. So I'm just going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just proclaim your divine blessing upon these people. And I just call forth the fullness of destiny in their lives, Father. And I'm asking you to work radically in their lives and in this conference, and to accelerate them and to advance them and to assure them in their heart that they are indeed further along than they could even imagine. So I just praise you for that, Father, and give you all the glory. And we expect great things. And we thank you that this is a turning point, a time like no other. And we just again praise you and give you all the glory. And we receive in Jesus' name all that you have for us. Amen.